Grace to you and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sermon for this morning was prepared for us by Pastor Harold. And the sermon title is, What Can I Get Out of It? Shall we read aloud the sermon title together? Yes, what can I get out of it? But Jesus rebuked Peter, saying, Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. According to verse 33. The story is told of a young man who wanted to become a monk and live a quiet life in the confines of a monastery. The father superior in charge of the monastery told the young man that this was a very strict order of monks. As a newcomer, he would be allowed to speak only two words for the first 10 years. At the end of that exhausting period, he was asked, Do you have any comment? He replied, Foot cold. Another 10 years of dedication was endured. At which time he was asked, Do you have any comment? He replied, Bad heart. At last, the third 10-year period passed, and he was asked, Any comment? He replied, I quit. Good, said the father superior. You have done nothing but complain for the last 30 years. Although his judgment was perhaps not quite correct, it seemed the father superior decided that the young man's life motto was, What can I get out of it? However, it is correct to state that in many areas of our lives, including home, work, church, and our relationship with Christ, the motto of our lives can be, What can I get out of it? That is, what's in it for me? In today's gospel reading, Peter basically asked Jesus, What can I get out of being your disciples? He has a dream of personal glory. In Mark chapter 8, verse 27 to 29, we just read, Jesus asked his disciples, Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, You are the Christ. Yes, Peter said, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Messiah. At this time, the Jewish dreams of a Messiah centered on one who would come to destroy their enemies, to restore Israel to her former greatness and power, to rule in glory. And it was hoped this Messiah would have special assistance, one at his right hand and one on his left hand. Peter was thinking, Oh, Jesus, be this kind of Messiah. Now is a time for glory and power. Will I sit on your right or on your left? What can I get out of it? But Jesus put an end to Peter's dream. Verse 31 and verse 33, which we just read, and Jesus taught them that he must suffer many things and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. And Jesus rebuked Peter, saying, Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Jesus tells Peter that he is a suffering, dying, and rising Messiah who has not come for personal glory or power. He has come to lay down his life and die for the world. Peter says, No, that's not what I want. What about me? What's in that for me? What can I get out of that? Peter rebuked Jesus with these kinds of words, but Jesus did not take it. He rebuked Peter burst his bubble, ended his selfish dreams, he said. The devil is really behind such ideas. Today we ask, what can I get out of it? In our home, work, and church. With what results? Broken families, unproductive companies, unhealthy churches. Peter's self-serving dream continues today in many facets of life. But let's just center our thoughts on the church. This dream is alive and well in many religious TV programs, congregations in North America, and Christian bookstores. It is the selfish, devilish dreams or attitude whose number one message is, what can I get off of it if I follow Jesus? Too often in modern Christianity, this message sounds like the following. Believe in Jesus, join our church, send your dollars to our TV program so that you can get God's power, be healed, become happy and prosperous. There's nothing to lose and everything to gain. Some are a lot like Peter's, what can I get out of it? Dream. But Jesus rejects this devilish form of selfish Christianity. Get behind me, Satan, for you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. Through the words of Peter, we can hear the echoes of the devil's word as he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, as recorded in both Matthew and Luke chapter 4. You don't have to suffer, Jesus. Bow to me, Jesus, and I give you power and wealth. Messiahs don't suffer, Jesus. You can have it all, Jesus. Just don't go near the cross. Jesus responded, get lost, devil. Smarten up, Peter. Today you and I face the same devilish temptation. What is your motivation for faith in Jesus Christ and involvement in his church? To get my needs met, to be happy, to attend worship or participate in other activities only when it is convenient and does not interfere with other plans? It is so easy for us today for our faith to be a selfish convenience instead of a selfless commitment, and the devil rejoices. Yet Jesus challenges Peter and he challenges us. Take up your cross and follow me. That is to say, the Christian life is a commitment to Jesus and to others and to what we know is right. It is a giving of our time, our talents, and our treasures for God's eternal purposes. It is even suffering as we stand up for the name of Jesus. And we willingly do these things in response to his great life-giving love for us. We do not do any of these things to get a reward or to make ourselves look good in the eyes of the others. We do these things with a joyful heart and because they are the right things to do. Think of these things when in the life of our congregation here, you are encouraged to serve in some capacity, to bring others with you to hear God's word, to model yourself to your children. That is really important in life by making Sunday morning here a family priority, to live as God's people from Monday through Saturday. You see the cross of Jesus puts an end to what's can I get off of it, Christianity? Do you recall today's epistle reading in Romans chapter 5? What a wonderful passage for us sinners. St. Paul told us, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And having been reconciled by his death, how much more shall we be saved by his life? Would you turn your eyes to the cross that hangs above our altar? See him, Christ Jesus, he gave his very life for you. Beneath the cross, we sinners are judged. On the cross, we are forgiven. Do you recall what was the first thing that Jesus said on the cross, on Calvary? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yes, on the cross, we are forgiven. Yes, your sins are forgiven. I hope you never get tired of me telling you that. From the cross and empty tomb, we are given a victory that gives us a living relationship with Almighty God here and now and for all eternity in heaven. This victory God calls us to share freely with others. In view of these truths, we again ask the question posed by today's sermon title regarding our Christian faith. What can I get out of it? Or what can we get out of it? Holy Scripture suggests at least three things. Check your sermon outline. First, losing our lives in Jesus. In Mark chapter 8 sermon text, Jesus said, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." This simply means committing your life to Jesus and seeking his will instead of your own. Asking, "What do you desire, Lord?" instead of, "What do I want?" Less of me, Lord, more of you. Next, finding our lives in Jesus. In Mark chapter 8, verse 35, Jesus said, "For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it." As we place our trust in Jesus, we can lose the old selfish, "What can I get out of it?" mentality, and we can find a new kind of life. A life focused on eternal purposes and the desire to love and serve others. And this brings us to the third thing, rediscovering an old vision. This old vision is the theme of St. Paul and his ministry. This old vision is a fitting theme for each of our lives. This vision and theme is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." This simply means we look at our personal life as an opportunity to serving others instead of being served, of giving to others instead of being given to. And we do this for Jesus' sake. That is, in response to his great love for us and all people. In a humorous way, this very point was illustrated in a story I heard. A little church was having a homecoming service to which members who had moved away were invited. One ex-member who attended was a man who had become a multi-millionaire. He, with some others, came to the front to bring greetings. This rich man told a story of when he was a young boy in that church. He had earned his very first dollar. "I had decided," he said, "to keep it for myself. But one day in this very place, we were told of the great needs for funds for mission work. So as the offering plates were passed, I put my treasured dollar in the plate. And I am convinced that the reason God has blessed me financially is when I was a boy, I gave him everything I possessed. The congregation was in awe by his story, and all was silent until an elderly little lady in the front pew rose and said, "Brother, I dare you to do it again." That was quite a challenge. But today in our Mark chapter 8 sermon text, Jesus has quite the challenge for Peter and for us. Jesus is calling each of us to set aside the old devilish, "what can I get out of it" mentality or attitude, and to turn our hearts back to him and his love for us. As we do, we will lose our lives in him, and we will truly find our lives with him from now and unto life everlasting. This is our Lord's loving promise to each and every one of us. He who died to forgive your sin and rose for your salvation will keep his promises. To God be the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.